Blog Talk Radio.
This is Dare to Be Authentic Talk Radio Show Worldwide with relationship coach, life coach, and author Mari Mitchell Porter.
Hi, welcome to Dare to Be Authentic. I'm your host, Mari Mitchell. Thank you for tuning into the show. We're going to talk about, as we always do, how authenticity can help you in every area of your life, how being who you really are meant to be, doing what you're supposed to or are meant to do, can bring so much fulfillment and joy into your life. I'm so happy to be coming to you about a month now from sunny Southern California. And hi to my friends in Florida. I must say, the weather change is incredibly beautiful here. It's now 68 degrees at 10 o'clock a.m. I'm actually having to wear a sweatshirt because I'm a little on the chilly side. And I know that in Florida, with the heat and the humidity, you're all dying over there because I speak to so many of you. But take hope. Winter is coming. Anyway, all kidding aside, I'm so thrilled to be on the show today, talking to all of you. And I did want to remind you that I have some new things on my website you might want to check out. I've added some spiritual mentoring, especially with my program, The Majesty in You, which helps you to see the divine that lies inside of you, not only to see it, but to feel it and to activate it in your life. So that as you begin to build your life, you can do it from the viewpoint of the divine. Do it with the power, with the majesty, with everything that the divine has for you. So you can check that out on my website, lifecoachmari.com. That's lifecoachmari.com. There's also some places there for life coaching and for relationship coaching. I want you to check those out too. And there's even a radio show page where you can check out my other radio shows and listen to some of them, and then go to Blog Talk and listen to all of them. The main thing I wanted to talk to you about today is a little bit about courage, because the guest I'm going to have today is a very courageous person who has written a very special book, and I'm going to tell you all about her in just a moment. But as we look inside and begin to step forward into who we really are, it does take courage. That's why this show is called Dare to Be Authentic. Daring means that you are courageous. You've taken a step towards courage. And so sometimes we're called to do things. We know we have to do them. They're not easy. We struggle with them. But we have to take the step. We have to be courageous. It's like jumping off that rope. I remember when I was a kid, swinging on that rope into a pool or into a lake, actually, is what we were doing. And as you swing out, I remember how many times I had to swing out and come back into the comfort of land and swing out and come back in and then let the kid behind me go because I didn't have the courage to do it. And then I would swing out and let go, boom, right into the water. It was so refreshing. Finding the last few weeks that's what I've had to do. I've had to start letting go of the rope. The rope being my fear or my insecurities or whatever it is that's holding me back from stepping into the next stage, best stage of my life. And I'm thinking maybe some of you may be having the same thing. What is holding you back? Is there something you have to let go of? Are there insecurities? Are there doubts in your life? What is necessary for you to let go of so that you can begin maybe the next stage of your life or just add more fulfillment and joy into the life as you have it now? So I want you to think about that for a little bit. We seem to be having some technical difficulties getting my guest in. She's coming in from Canada through Skype. So let me just take a moment and see if I can email her and see what's going on. But in the meantime, we are going to go on with the show. We're going to be talking about authenticity and what it means to us. second here while I try to contact her and deal with these technical difficulties. Happens sometimes. I've been very, very, very fortunate that this has really never happened before. I've never had a guest not be able to call in or get in the time required, but this time something is happening. So just bear with me. Karen, we'll see what happens with this because I'm waiting for her to come in through Skype. Let me tell you a little bit about her while we're waiting for her to tune in to get in on this line. Her name is Donna Kirk, and she's an author. Her main book being Finding Matthew, A Child with Brain Damage, A Young Man with Mental Illness, A Son and Brother with Extraordinary Spirit. All of that is the title of the book. She's also written short stories, also with the same type of theme. Her stories and book revolve around her family, and particularly her son Matthew, who was born with physical and developmental challenges. And Donna's work has appeared in many publications in Canada, in the United States, the United Kingdom, and even in India. And we're hoping that she will be able to come in with us any second so that we can talk to her and find out what it took for her to actually write this book. And then she goes and she talks about the challenges she had with her son and how she was able to overcome and how he was able to overcome some challenges that were extraordinary and how he was able to become an extraordinary person when he was originally diagnosed as a baby. When he was born, they said that he wouldn't even be able to walk. There were things he wasn't going to be able to do, but he was able to overcome many of those. We're still having trouble getting Donna in here. There she is. She's in with us. Yes. Hello, Donna.
Hi, Mari. I'm sorry. The button would not come up. I had to try it many times before it finally worked.
That's okay. I've been telling the listeners, we're live now, so I've been telling the listeners that we've been having some technical difficulties, and please bear with us. And I already
introduced you. Thank you for waiting. I could hear you, but obviously you couldn't hear me, so here we are.
Okay, awesome. Well, I'm glad that we got you in. I introduced you and the book, and the listeners waiting to hear from you. And the first thing I wanted to ask you is, why was it so important for you to write this book?
Well, it was because I wanted to honor my son, a person who had serious developmental disabilities and mental illness. And in spite of all his troubles, he lived a very successful life, and he had many, many admirers. And he was a guide to my husband and myself and my kids, I believe. And I think his story needed to be told.
That's beautiful. And so as you wrote the book, I know I'm a writer as well, and as you began to write the book and edit the book, and I know what that takes, how did that affect you personally?
Well, many people have said, oh, it must have been cathartic to write the book. And actually, I didn't feel that. I was just so happy to put into words what my son had been living for 40 years. He died when he was 40. And I fortunately had taken notes for many years. So I had things that I might have forgotten. It was a great experience for me. I was finally able to do what I really meant to do, and that was honor him in the right way.
That's so beautiful because, and like you say, people are assuming that it was cathartic and you had all this angst and all this coming out, but instead it was joyful for you. That's really beautiful that it was that joyful because, you know, the writing can be joyful. I know that as an author myself, some of it can be difficult, but some of it can be very joyful, especially when you have a finished product to offer to people. So what has the response been to the book by those who have read it?
Well, I've had a great response, in my opinion. I've hired a publicist who's done an excellent job for me. And I receive emails almost on a weekly basis from folks who I don't know, who thank me for telling the story and giving them courage with their children or their family member, and also for being enlightened about the abilities and the gifts and talents of people with developmental disabilities and mental illness. So I couldn't have wished for a better response.
Wow. So then that makes you feel extremely fulfilled. I mean, you had it inside of you that this book had to be written. You did it to honor your son. But now look at all the people that you're helping because you followed that instinct to honor your son. I mean, that has to feel incredible. And, you know, getting all those emails and hearing from people that you have encouraged and helped and made feel better because of the book.
Yes. Yes, indeed.
Oh, wow. That's beautiful. So, you know, the show is called Dare to Be Authentic, which means being who we really are. Tell us what you think. What part did authenticity play in your experience raising Matthew?
Well, it was hard not to be authentic, particularly with a kid like Matthew, who also had autism and a mind of his own, like we all do. But he had no boundaries, and we'd be sitting in a doctor's office, and he did decide he'd had enough, and he'd be screaming and throwing himself on the floor, and it's hard to hide from that. So I had to be real with him right from the start, and in front of people I didn't know, people I knew who would judge us. And I found that the more experience I had with that, and the more I honored Matthew through those sessions, I could see people's attitudes changing towards him, and they would smile, and when he was sitting again in his chair, they'd say, "Good for you, buddy." And so it really was, it was a fabulous experience.
Wow. And when you say you honored Matthew, give us an example of what you did, because parents want to hear this. How do you honor a child who's doing this, who's having this behavior? People are judging you because that's what people do. And how would you actually honor him?
Well, honoring him in this instance is my word for not yelling and getting angry, and which is what, of course, first I started to do. I'd just be mad and say, "Oh, Matthew, for Pete's sake, you know, we have to wait." Then I just started to, what really worked for me and for him was to whisper to him. And because, of course, I didn't get any eye contact, but then he would then listen. And I would just say, "Now, Matt, you know, we have to see this doctor. I know it's a nuisance to wait." And of course, it made things worse that people were eating and drinking in these waiting rooms. And he wanted what they were eating or drinking. And, of course, he couldn't have it. And that made things more difficult.
Right.
And so I would then say, you come and sit beside Mom. And when we're finished, we will go to the Coke machine or the canteen. And he usually came around.
Right.
So
I like that you whispered. Okay. So being gentle and being kind and being calm, which is the opposite of kind of what you want to do, you know.
Well, it was
our ego wants to take control of it.
Yes.
Can you repeat that again? We were losing you.
I said it was a strategy I developed rather than get myself all upset. And inside I was upset thinking, I wanted him to present his best self to people. And with a kid like Matthew with autism and other difficulties, usually in public, that's when they didn't present their best selves. And so I had to kind of develop a strategy to encourage him to change his behavior.
That's beautiful. So this strategy, I'm sure that it's all over your book as you wrote the book about it. I didn't get a chance to read it all. I'm sure that you've incorporated in there for the people who are interested in using these kinds of strategies for their own children.
Well, it didn't always work, but it always worked for me in that I didn't get overly upset. So that was a plus for me.
Yes, absolutely. Very nice. Okay, we're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll hear from one of our sponsors, and we will be right back talking with Donna Kirk, author of Finding Matthew.
Are you looking for love in your relationship? Are you an authentic human being? Donnie Urban is a strategic interventionist and is the master coach of the Wonderful Life Success System.
Remove the mask you're hiding behind and visit www.wonderfullifelearning.com. That's wonderfullifelearning.com or call 714-403-9256. That's 714-403-9256 and experience life balance.
Well, welcome back to Dare to Be Authentic Radio. This is Mari Mitchell, and I'm here with my special guest, Donna Kirk, the author of Finding Matthew, a story she wrote to honor her son, a child with brain damage, a young man with mental illness, who was also a son and brother with extraordinary spirit. Let's talk about that for a second, Donna. You say that Matthew had extraordinary spirit. Let's talk about that part of him.
Well, you know, I Matthew was, when you don't talk, Matthew never learned to speak. However, he did learn certain signs, which allowed him to express his wants and needs. And imagine how difficult it is for people to talk at you all day long when you don't answer them. He had to put up with us, with society. Right. A society that didn't understand him, that was judgmental of him. And I think if that had been me, I would have been yelling and screaming and throwing myself on the floor all the time. So I right. think he was very patient with the regular world, if you like. And I think that takes a lot of guts and spirit. And I really respected that aspect of his personality.
Yeah, I have to agree with you. I mean, I can't even begin to imagine not being able to speak or communicate.
Well, and many times in doctors' offices, when he was going for one reason or another, the doctors would not speak to him. They'd say to me, you know, what will he do this? I said, ask him. Ask him. Mm. I mean, you know, it was interesting. I mean, he wasn't deaf. He was present and accounted for. So speak to him. And that's another thing, that if somebody had been talking to my husband about me in my presence, I think I would have had a temper tantrum.
Right. Right. I like that, because that's another way of honoring him, not making him invisible in the room, but saying to the doctor, he is here. Ask him. He's present, like you say. He's a person. He's a human being, and he's here. Why are you ignoring him? I think it takes a lot of guts for you even to have said that.
Once when we were at the dentist's office, the dentist, who was a bit lacking in intelligence, said to me, Matthew was being examined, and he said to me, will he bite me? And I said to the dentist, I certainly hope so.
I was afraid that was going to be your answer. What did the dentist do? His face must have been horrified.
He didn't know what to do. And, of course, Matthew got the joke and started to giggle, and it's dear. I mean, you have to be very creative.
Mm-hmm.
So that was one of our finest hours together in that dentist chair. And then the dentist got on with his work, and I kept thinking, oh, God, I hope Matthew doesn't bite him. But anyhow, he didn't, and we went home, and everything was fine.
Oh, my gosh, I love that story. I love your answer. And Matthew was able to join in the joke with you, which I think is absolutely lovely. Very, very nice.
He understood everything that was being said, and that's why, for me, it was so painful when people didn't talk to him.
Yes, exactly. That makes sense. You know, that happens a lot. That happens also with older people. Three years ago, I went through it with my mom, who was very ill. And what happens is they disbelieve the older person, like they're much older in their 80s or 90s, that they don't exist. They're just talking to you as a children, mm-hmm. or whoever, you know, they think has a better judgment. And especially since my mom didn't speak English, she was originally Cuban, and she did speak some, but as she got older, she lost a lot of it. So she was a little bit confused, but they completely ignore her as if she wasn't even in the room. And that can be very painful. Yeah, yeah. So I had that experience with her. I understand what you're talking about. So tell me, Donna, as you wrote this book and as you sent this out to the world, because this book is for the world, for the whole universe, What is the main message that you want to bring to the public?
Well, I hope that through reading the book that people have a greater understanding and appreciation for folks with developmental disabilities, mental illness, anyone who has challenges that are different from the regular day-to-day challenges, because I think that these folks, people like my son, are very, very important people, and they accomplish regardless. And I don't know that I would have done well had I had his infirmities, but I'm certainly glad that I had the opportunity to be his mother and to do the best I could to help him, because I can tell you that he did more for me than I ever did for him.
Wow. What a beautiful thing to say. What are some of the lessons that you felt that you took away from the raising of Matthew that wouldn't have happened had you had a child without all those challenges?
Well, I think really you learn to make decisions for people, and you learn to look into the reality of situations that require intense thought, intense study, and a deeper thinking, if you like, about how will this affect a person who doesn't speak? How will this affect a person who has certain allergies, or what am I doing the right thing for this person? And that was a constant challenge and a worry for me. But I'm so very glad that I had those opportunities.
Well, it made you a stronger person. I mean, it's a huge responsibility to almost be in charge of someone else's welfare and life. I mean, that's what happened. And that's what happened to me towards the end of my mother's life. My sister and myself had that responsibility, making some of these choices even when she wasn't able to make them. So it's a huge responsibility. But I think for me, it took some faith. It took some knowing that I wasn't alone, and that there's something bigger than us that helps us through no matter what it is.
That's right. Well, I had the support of my husband and my children, and we had wonderful people around Matthew, caregivers who were absolutely fantastic and taught me a lot. Mm-hmm. I was a bit of a helicopter parent, and they taught me to just let him do things, don't do everything for him. And so I learned, as I said, I learned more than I was ever able to impart to him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that, the part about the helicopter parent. You know, it's really difficult to take your hands off and let a child be, even with children that are not, you know, don't have those type of challenges. I have three kids of my own. It can be very difficult as a mother or a parent let them figure it out, or let them take that challenge on their own without us going in and fixing it.
Well, that's right. And you know, with a person with a handicapping condition, there's a saying called the prison of protection. You can do too much. You can imprison your child by being not allowing them to experience school, by, you know, activities, things where it involves a little bit of a trust in other people to make sure that the person is safe and their welfare is being looked after while you're not there. And that took a while.
Yeah, that takes a lot of courage, and it's scary. I know that it's scary. I remember, you know, when my kids first went to preschool, my son went to preschool for a bit. The girls didn't. They go to kindergarten, and it's like the first time they're stepping away from home. So I can't even imagine you know, what you went through with a child who can't even communicate with others very well. It took a tremendous amount of courage, Donna, and I applaud you for that. I think that your writing of this book is such a beautiful thing, not only for you, but for all those who will get to read it and who will be able to be inspired and encouraged from it. So I don't want to run out of time without you telling us how to get a hold of you and the book.
Okay. Well, you can get a hold of me. My website is www.donnakirk.com, and you can also buy the book on amazon.com and just put in the subject line "Finding Matthew, a Child with Brain Damage," and it'll come up. So you can download it. It's or you can buy a hard copy.
Fantastic. And it's Donna Kirk, DonnaKirk.com, if you want to get a hold.
That's correct. DonnaKirk.com.
Okay. Very good. Beautiful. So is there, Donna, one last thing that you'd like to say to a listener, maybe somebody who is struggling with a child like you struggled with Matthew? What could you say to encourage them today? Because I know that the days are difficult and they're long, and it's a struggle. So what could you say to someone who maybe is in that struggle right now and is listening?
Well, I think that, be honest with yourself. Don't be afraid of your feelings. I can remember thinking, I don't want to be this kid's mother. It's too hard. How can I ever help him? Don't be afraid to acknowledge the fact that you are maybe the only person in your circle of friends who has a child with a disability.
Mm-hmm.
Help and advice from others. Join groups. In Canada, we have associations. They call them Associations for Community Living. And that's where I met other parents, met other kids. And you have to put yourself out there. Take the leap. Put yourself out. Talk to other people. And the most important thing is to talk and be honest about it. The more you value and love your child, other people will pick up on that vibe from you, and they will learn to love him or her as well.
That's really nice. I like, because everything you said talks about being authentic, which is what this show is about. In other words, acknowledge to your own self what your feelings are. You know, like you just said, I don't want to be a mother to a child like this anymore. It's really hard. But to be able to acknowledge that you feel that way, and then taking that step that you just said, you have to go out and ask for help. And
mm-hmm.
It's so hard for us to ask for help. All of us, you know, that's one.
Yes, it is.
One of the
it really is. But if you don't, you will be a better mother for your child if you ask for help and if you don't let your whole life be about doing for this child. If you can afford it, get a babysitter or ask a friend, can you look after Matthew for an hour so I can go and have a coffee? You need a break. Everybody needs a break, and you'll come home and you'll be refreshed and you'll be a much better parent to that child. Nobody can do a job 24/7, but a parent of a handicapped child really doesn't get much time off. And I think that's one of the real problems too.
Yeah, and it's okay to ask for help, and it's necessary, actually. It's absolutely necessary. That also helps with people who are caretakers for older people, their older parents, and the same thing happens. They can no longer take care of themselves, and it's our job to take care of them, but we're afraid of putting them in the hands of other people who won't care for them as well. So that's really great advice, Donna. Go out. There's help out there. Get the help that you need. If you need to hire somebody, whatever it is to do, give yourself a break. Go out and have some fun and just take a break sometimes. Donna, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you on the show. We're just about done. Thank you. Thank you so much for being on the show with me today.
Well, thank you very much, Mari. I appreciate it. And I hope people will get the book and enjoy Matthew. Another word is that all the royalties from Finding Matthew are going to charity.
Wow, that's amazing. You're an amazing person, and I'm so honored to have had you on this show. Have a wonderful, wonderful day, Donna.
Thank you very much.
And for the listener, we'll be back next week, 10 a.m. Pacific Time, on Dare to Be Authentic Radio.
This is Dare to Be Authentic Talk Radio Show, worldwide, with relationship coach, life coach, and author, Mari Mitchell Porter.